Today's daf in Masechet Shviit Yerushalmit, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Pei Gimel, and we had just finished the beautiful limud from Kovat Shnat HaSheva, Shnat HaShmitah, that from there we see that there is another year, so to speak, or something similar to a year, with Shloshim Yom B'Shana Schoshiv Shana, which has the same din as the Shnat HaShviit, namely, just like in Shemitah, you cannot take a person to court if Shemitah cancels because of lo yigos, so too, 30 days at any time is considered to be, unless you specify otherwise, 30 days is considered to be a Shemitah of the rights of your recovery of the loan. If you gave somebody money and you didn't say how long he can use it for as a loan, then for 30 days, it's like trying to collect a loan after Shemitah. You don't have the rights on that loan. And that was the equivalent of Kavash Shnat HaSheva, Shnat HaShemitah. Today, we want to go on, basically extending what Rav Yehuda said, and he wanted to say that, look, Rav Yehuda basically boils down to a very interesting halach, that a loan that you never could have been gosh. So there is no way to go ahead and to taina that I want your money. So there's no lo yigos if you can't be gosh, right? Nonetheless, the fact that you weren't able to demand it for some reason, such as over here, it's within the time that he had the right to keep it. So you would think that maybe then that means that the hekesh in the posik between lo yigos et reyehu with baal mashe yado eshamot, that means that since this loan was never in a position in which you weren't allowed to be gos because it wasn't gosable, so here too, there would be no din of Shemitah being meshamet. And I want to show you that there's actually a mucker for saying that implication of Reb Yehuda. Because lo kain amar Rebbe ba bar mama, Barnea ice cream is not good for you. Do not buy that ice cream. It's a good thing you kept on your telephone so that we can see what you're up to. It looks like ice cream cones to me. I don't know. Maybe it's fishies. That's what happens when your vision isn't great. So anyway, didn't Reb ba bar mama and Rav Amram, and Rav Masna, B'Shem Rav, didn't they say that if somebody makes a loan, and he makes an agreement, there's a condition that, look, I'll pay you back when I can, but the condition is you can't go take me to court on it, and don't bother me about it. As soon as I'm able to pay you back, I'll pay you back. So that's almanat shalala tovot. So then that means that you are not able to be gos et reyehu. And afal pikein, it says that shvius is mishamet. So then it is exactly the same case. For 30 days, essentially, you've made an agreement that you can't collect it, right? And nonetheless, if shvius is chal, so then that's the halacha. And that the shvius would still be mishamet. Okay, so then since he's mechuyev to pay, and that means that even though there's no din of beferish lo yigos, but nonetheless, there's a tzad in which it's collectible. What's the tzad that it's collectible, lemaisa? If you went ahead and you were tayface that money, then the guy wouldn't be able to get it away from you, you see? So in that sense, the loan is recoverable. Okay. Now, we also found a ton of a Rabbi Shmuel that does not understand the pasuk the way Rav Yehuda was medayik in the pasuk Shnat HaSheva, Shnat HaShmitah. Obviously, Shnat HaSheva, Shnat HaShmitah. Why do we need to repeat that? But I'll show you, there's a braita that considers the words Shnat HaSheva, Shnat HaShmitah as a dramatic description of the psychology of the individual who might be entertaining a davar b'liyal lemor karva shnat hasheva shnat hashmita. What would that davar b'liyal mean? So ashkach toni Reb Yishmael, Karva shnata sheva shnata shmita. Lo hishnata sheva hishnata shmita. Isn't that exactly the same thing? Why are we repeating the same words? Umata mudlomar karva shnata sheva shnata shmita. Shalotomar, what it means is, oh my gosh, it's 6 years that I've been looking at this guy's vineyard, and I've been looking at this guy's field, and I know that he's a rich guy, and that I'd always be able to go after him in court, and that's why I didn't have any hesitations, but that was only for 6 years, right? Now it's not a sheva, uh-oh. So, shalotomar kol sheish shanim, for the past 6 years, I've been looking at his field to be able to collect. I've been looking at his vineyard to be able to collect. Now, after 6 years, what am I going to do? I won't be able to collect. So, therefore, I should say that it would cancel any liens that I have. And I'm not going to be able to collect it. That's what you might think. That's why it has to say, no. Shmita is about loans. The seventh year that you're so worried about is only about loans. It's not about a bittul of whatever kind of apoteki you have. So in other words, if you have the kind of she'ibud on karka that is going to survive, and it's not the definition of the loan, it's the definition of the ability to keep what you had in mind in the guy's vineyard, which you took an apoteki for, or in the guy's soda, which you took an apoteki for, that's not going to be used up because of Shemitah. You don't have to worry about that. And therefore, it's coming to teach me that an apoteki isn't bought. Okay, this is one way of learning. There was many different ways of understanding what it was that the Chiddush was of Rabbi Yishmael. This is a very simple approach to the sugya. So there's no din of Shemitah canceling anything but the actual loan. If we were talking about Yovel, fine, so then you'd have to be giving up even your apotekis because all of the property goes back to where it originally was. The next din in the Mishnah was Ha'ones v'amifateh v'amotzi shemra are not shomut in shviyas. So says Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, this Mishnah is basically going aliba to Rabbi Meir Shita. Rabbi Meir Shita is that the entire din of Shemitah is only on a mashe yad. That is a milvah davar taloi. So this is, ends up being a direct continuation with the simple understanding of what the Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel was saying. Shemitah doesn't affect apotekis. Shemitah doesn't affect anything but money owned as a loan, or of course it could be owned for anything that you then turned it into a loan. That's something else. It's Zokifalaf Kamilva. So since it said in our Mishnah that anything that's on your credit card that you're going to have to pay, or money that you owe someone for working for you that you're going to have to pay. Why? Because Shemitah is only Meshamid a loan and these things aren't loans. The same thing is true of an Oynes Befata Motzi Shemra. These things are not loans. And that's the point in the Mishnah. But anything that had been turned into a loan, it is a type of thing which is now a loan, would be bato in Shemitah. And what's more, any Maisa Bezda is not bato in Shviyas. What is that referring to? Gezrei Dinim. Wherever a court has issued a payment order, that's it. It's considered to be the equivalent of already being in your hand. It's the equivalent of Meiser Shtaroys of Lebesdin. And in such a case, it would not be Votol in Shpiyas. We got up to Halacha Beis in the 10th Perek, which is, of course, all of the exciting information about a Prusbel. So let's take a look at the dinim of Prusbel. Prusbel is actually many, many issues that we're going to have to look into. Obviously, the most pressing is, how in the world can we make a takana to cancel a chiyuv in the Torah? The Torah says that you have to be shamet et yadcha, if you have any kind of loans, mashe, if you have any loans against your friend, And so shame tetatcha, and if you ask for it, then you're going to be over on lo yigo shetchavero. You're not allowed to even ask for payment. So how could Hillel come along, make a takana? Well, if you write this shtar, which we call a prusbel, then everything is okay. And the word prusbel, you remember, comes from prus, buli, buti. Says the Gemara, that was the original, actually, it's the original Greek. Prus means a takana. So it's a takana for both the aniyim, the buli, and the buti, which are the people that are rich. So in other words, this way, we allow aniyim to get money, because otherwise people are going to be afraid to lend them. And the aniyim, the ashirim, are able to make their investments. And remember, the investments consists of the way we set up our iskas, like we just had above Metzia. We set up our iskas to be actually loans. And we also make certain that the ashirim don't fall into doing the iser of not lending. So basically, it is a tikkun for everybody. So let's take a look at the lashon of the Mishnah. If somebody writes a prusbel, the previous case that we had is that if somebody is moser shtarotov lebeit din, so we're not coming over here right at the beginning of the perek. The beginning of the perek was actually talking about ways that things would not be meshamet. So we talked about maase bezdin, we talked about malva al hamashkain. The last thing that we talked about in the first Mishnah is moser shtaros of lebezdin. So guy hands over his shtarot to Bezdin, and he says, you collect these debts for me, I'm not going to collect them. So the Moses shtarot of the Bezdin...
What daf are we on?
We're on daf, in the Yerushalmi, we're on daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. And whatever Yerushalmi you're using, we're in Perek Yud Halacha Beis, right? Not everybody has, unfortunately, not everybody has the Ozvahadar, which is what we're using. Okay, so again, the previous Mishnah spoke about Moser Shtarosav Lebeit Din, and that is not Mishamet. So why exactly is it not Mishamet if you're Moser Shtarosav Lebeit Din? So, okay, so then we have all kinds of possibilities. Maybe the idea over here is only something, it says, Asher Yelecha Et Achicha Tishamet Yadech. So it's not with you. It's already in the Bezdin. So that would be the equivalent of having a mashkin on something. It's not a sheyelecha. It's now in the hands of the Bezdin. There's also the possibility that the idea of the lo yigos is the definition of what you need to do to be mishamet. So if you are put your loan into a situation in which no further legal tviot will be made against this loan by you. So then you were Mekayim. I was Meshamet et Yadid. Now the fact is that when I begin this process of collecting a loan, how do I begin the process? I go to court and I say, gentlemen, here are the contracts I have. This guy owes me so much money and I am filing suit to collect that money. So what I'm doing is I'm handing you these contracts for you to deal with the situation because I can't deal with it. Okay, so then that would mean that I no longer have to do anything in order to be ghosts, in order to be able to get it from him. I gave it over to the courts. So in that case, I was already mishamet et yadi at that point. My hands are out of it. It's in the hands of the court. Now, what's fascinating is that Rashi says on that Mishnah that that is prusbel, which basically is taken to mean, people think that that means, and many shitas follow Rashi's entire approach, that it's based on the fact that a prusbel is essentially a way of handing over your shtarot lebezdin. And we'll talk about that because it's far from clear that that's what Rashi really means, and there's many other approaches to prusbel. So first, let's take a look at our Mishnah. We'll try to figure out the main problems. How in the world could somebody make a takana that goes against the Torah? The Torah says that you're not allowed to collect a loan. And here, basically, Hillel has made it possible to collect a loan. So how do you explain that? So therefore, says the Mishnah, prusbel eino mishamet, as long as you wrote the Prusbol, then it's not going to be Meshamet. And this was one of the big takunas, Echad ben Advorim, Shitkin Hillel as a king. So Hillel, as the Nasi, was mitakein. Now this, when was Hillel around? Hillel was around while the Beis HaMikdash was still around, right? And that complicates matters, because if the Beis HaMikdash was still around, so then Lechora, the Kedushas Haaretz, at the same level of Kedushas Haaretz, and why would he have a right to be Mevatel and Din of Shemitah? But then, of course, you have to ask yourself, what in the world does money have to do with Kedushas Haaretz? I mean, I understand the agricultural elements of Shemitah have to do with Kedushas Haaretz, but why would this mitzvah of being Meshamet money, why would that have to do with Kedushas Haaretz? That would be true even in Chutz La'aretz, would it not? So as you can see, all of these issues, Rebbe did a wonderful job of, confusing us totally, and we'll have to go through the Sfaras on every level of the problem over here. So one of the things that he did, and why did he do it? So he saw that the rich people were very nervous, and because as it's getting close to Shemitah, if the guy defaults on his loan and he doesn't pay up, I'm not going to be able, once the end of Shemitah comes, I'm not going to be able to collect this loan. And therefore, I don't trust the guy. I'm too nervous. I won't lend him money. And that way, they're going to be over on a Yisidi or Isa. So this would be a terrible thing, says HaKadosh Baruch. So Shvil sees people are coming to be over on such an important thing. Hitkini Lel Prusbo, that the Malve writes in the Prusbo, a Loshan that makes it possible to collect his loan even after Shemitah. So the question, of course, is how this would work. Now there's Machlokas, by the way, about what is the real Takana for the Ashirim. Is the Takana for the Ashirim, we would say, Prusbo Liubuti, the fact that they won't be over? Or is it also the fact that they will be able to do business with their money and so on? Or is it the fact that if they did make a loan, they won't lose their money? There's three different possibilities here. And I don't personally have any doubt that all of the above is meant. And even though various Rishonim will talk about one aspect and not the other aspect, the point is that this is a general tikkun for everyone and can only add. It's like we saw before, you know, when people, we made fun in the Gemara of the people who end up taking ribbis. You know, they say, Moshe was an idiot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nobody was talking about. If only they would have realized how important commerce is. It's the same kind of idea over here. Okay. Now, the idea, of course, of the real word of Prusbel is that it is not a Hebrew word at all. It's just a Greek word. But as we've said many times, there's always an attempt by Chazal, when they import a word into Lashon HaKodesh, they give it a etymology, a fanciful etymology, but they give it an etymology that makes it fit. So what is the Prusbo? So Zeu Gufo Shel Prusbo. Quote, Moser ani lachem ish ploni uploni hadayanim shebemokom ploni shekolchov sheyeshli sheegbenu kol zman sheertzen. And we're going to see that every word here is meaningful, and we're going to be darshening every word. So when it says Moser ani lachem shekolchov or kolchov, now there are two girsaot. If it says shekolchov sheyeshli, it seems to be a notification. I'm telling you right now, alone, I'm telling you right now that I intend to collect all of these debts. So I'm informing you about this. Or does it mean I hereby hand over kol chov sheyeshli? That is a big nafkamin, and how we understand the mechanisms, as we'll speak about shortly. So once I do that, so then it would be the equivalent of Moser Shtarotov LeBeitin, which was the last case of the Mishnah Aleph, and therefore this would be the most logical next step. If you're saying that I'm just letting you know, now that's actually the Rambam's pshat, as we'll see, that you don't need to do more than that. And once you give over that hoda'ah, so then Beis Din essentially empowers you to act on their behalf. And then hadayanim chotmin lamata o ha'edim. That's a little bit confusing because you'll notice that it said ploni uploni hadayanim. But as far as I can make out here, ploni and ploni is 1 + 1 = 2. I never heard of a Beis Din of 2. It would have to be 2 if they're edim, but it would have to be 3 if they were dayanim. And here it says the dayanim can sign below or the edim can sign below. So the question is, what does that mean? Some learn that it means that the dayanim chotmin lamata is an alternative to the girsa of the principle that we just said. And if the dayanim are going to be signing, then the dayanim write a different language. What they write is ploni ba lefanenu hadayanim, or if you hold you need 3 dayanim, you write b'motav tlata havina, we were sitting there with 3 dayanim, and ploni ba lefanenu umasar lano chovotav, and then they sign. And the edim, when it says chotmim edim, would be that edim write a principle for him and sign. B'faneinu, ploni uploni the edim, so-and-so was moser chovotav lebetin ploni, and then they sign. So we'll see what our Gemara holds, because there's a lot of differences here in how the Bavli learns it, how the Rishami learns it. Here we're going to understand it to mean that the lender writes in front of edim, even if the dayanim are somewhere else, and he's writing, I give over to you in front of these witnesses, ploni v'ploni adayanim, and so on and so forth. Okay, so we've got basically a serious problem. Is the Moshe Shtarotov lebeitin, which was the first halacha, halacha aleph in this parak. Now that Moshe Shtarotov lebeitin is a D'oraisa, because it's learnt out from the pasuk, asher yelecha et achicha tishamet yadecha. So that means prat lemoser shtarotav lebeidin. That is the diuk in the sifri. And because of that, if the takanas hillel is based on that, the way Rashi is saying, and that what the takanas hillel is moser shtarotav lebeidin, so what is it that hillel added? He added, instead of needing to go and physically give over your shtarot to the Beit Din, and the clerk can now go and take these actual shtarot, the shpruzbo will help, even if you don't bring those shtarot to the Beit Din. For that matter, the pruzbo will help, as Tosfos explains, even if you don't have a milva b'shtar, and you only have a milva b'peh. That's one of the ways of understanding it. And that essentially the whole deal is really a halacha that is based on the pasuk. Now there's an alternative, and the alternative could be that understanding Rashi in that Mishnah, the first Mishnah, who says Moshe Shtarotav LeBeis Din Zeu Pruzbel Shetiken Hillel, is that Rashi holds that actually the drasha in the Sifri is an esmachta. And it's not the real meaning of the pasuk, and that actually Moshe Shtarotav LeBeis Din itself is based on the takana of Hillel. I'm telling you all of the various approaches that people bring up, because this is such a very important sugya, and the whole rest essentially is now of the Masechet is going to be built around these inyanim. So I don't mind taking, I think for us, the extra time to hear all of the possibilities. Now, the question is, of course, how could Hillel be metaking something that goes against the Torah? So this the Gemara discusses in Gittin. And in Gittin, the Gemara says, it's a machlokas Abaya Verava. So Abaya answers, what are we talking about? We're going, I'll leave it to Rebbe. And we're talking about Shvius Bisman Azeh. And Rebbe holds that the din of Shemitah's Ksafim, even though it's not dependent on the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, it is dependent on Yovel. And the only time that Shemitah's Ksafim is Noyeg, and this is learned from the Pasuk, as we'll see in our Gemara, The only time that Shemitah's Ksafim is Noeges is where Shemitah's Karkos. What do I mean by Shemitah's Karkos? The equivalent to Shemitah's Ksafim. You lose your money. You give away your karka. You bought karka. In Yovel, you have to give that karka back to the seller. You lent money. In Shvius, you have to give that money away. And the two halachas are interdependent. Fine. Now that has nothing to do with whether it's even in the Zman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam, because remember that Yovel was batel even after the first of the Aseres HaShvatim was thrown out of Eretz Yisrael, because we learned that out from another pasuk. The Kol Yoshvea, it says, V'karato dro l'chol Yoshvea b'zman she'kol Yoshvea aleha. In which case, the moment you don't have Kol Yoshvea, all of this we're going to be discussing as we go along. I'm just presenting the overall picture because I think it's kedai to have a picture. So then, says Abaye, mi'ikar hadin, there is no din of Shemitah's Ksafim. It's the Rabbanan who made the takana in the beginning that there should be a din of Shemitah's Ksafim. Why? Because they're afraid. And, you know, Klal Yisrael will forget that there's even such a concept of Shemitah's Ksafim. So therefore, they were metakein that there should be a Shemitah's Ksafim. In which case, obviously, Hillel is only coming to redefine the Takana Derabanan and to say that if there is a principle, then there was no Gezera of Shemitah's Ksafim. Fine. But Enochinami, if it would have been a time that the Yovel is Naye, and Shemitah's Ksafim is the Araisa, nothing Hillel would have done would have possibly made a difference because he can't change the Araisa. That's how the Rambam paskins in Mishnah Torah. So what does Rambam say? In Hilchos Shemitah v'Yovel, Ein ha'pruzbel mo'il, ela b'shmitat ksafim bizman hazeh, shehu midivrei sofrim, aval shmitah shel Torah, ein ha'pruzbel mo'il ba. All right, so we're going to see, this is based on ukrosim dror ba'aretz, l'chol yoshvea, bizman shekol yoshvea, aleha. Okay? Some say that actually Yovel was Nog during the time of the Bayit Sheni. This is the Rabbeinu Tam Shita. And Hillel's Takona, according to this, was for the future. And Hillel was not Mitakein Bizmanog. He was Mitakein before the Zman of post-Churba. Okay? Now, the question is, if there is no Din of Shemitah's Ksafim, Midiraisa, how could the Rabbanan be metakein that people should steal other people's money? What are they saying? You have a loan, don't pay back that loan, because we say that Shemitah was meshamet the loan. But you can't make up such a thing, can you? Aren't you stealing? So the Gemara asks this in Gittin. And Abaye answers that Ein Achinami, the only way that's done, is Sheva Al Taaseh. They didn't say to steal the money. They only said, you don't have to pay back. So the Rabbanan have a right to be over on an Isser, to tell you to be over on an Isser through a Sheva Al Taaseh. Don't return it. Rava says that Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Now, there's a big machlokes. I'll finish with this. I see you're getting bored over here. I only have one person that's still here. Thanks, Alon. It's good to know someone is, oh, look at that. We've got another person who's here. Excellent. Okay, well, we can thank everybody else for sharing their photographs. I'm sure it's very nice. We could put it up on Google Photos. Wow-wee! Of all amazing people to be here. That's lovely, Naftali. How about sticking around for another minute or two? Okay. So the question is, when Rava said this din, that it helps because of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, what was he referring to? So Rashi learns that Rava was going back on the original question. How could Hillel make a takana of Prusbel? And Rava's answering, you can make a takana of Prusbel even if Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is the Araisa, because since it is a Dover Shebamaman, the Rabbanan have a right to be mafkir and to decide whose money it is. That's how Rashi understands Rova over there. He's offering an entirely different idea of the justification for Prusbel. However, Tosis argues on Rashi in Gittin, and he says that's not what Rava was coming to say. He is saying that no, of course the Takana was only for Shemitah Bizman Hazeh, but he's coming to answer, how could the Chachamim make a Takana that there should be Shemitah Bizman Hazeh of Shemitah's Ksofim? That was Hefker Bez and Hefker. Masha Einkein, to make this whole Takana for the Prusbel, Rava wasn't coming to give another mechanism for that called Hefker Bez and Hefker. Rava was basically saying the same idea, that Shviyas Bizman Hazeh is only Midivrei Sofer. Okay, so this is our first take on the issues. I won't keep you any longer. There's many other diyukim that need to be made in the Lashon of the Prusbel, which we'll talk about tomorrow, and Bezrat Hashem will, oops, not tomorrow, but Yom Rishon, and we'll start to go into the other diyukim in the way that the Prusbel is written, which makes tremendous nafkaminas lahalacha bizman hazeh as well, how this works. Because you will recall that not every bezdin has the keyach of hefker bezdin hefker. You have to have a bezdin choshuv, according to some. You have to have a hefker bezdin of mumchim, all of which we'll be talking about. And so we got up to the end of the Mishnah, and we're now at the Gemara of the dinim of Prusbel. Okay, so let's take a look. Now, Lemaisa, there's been a lot of diukim that we've made, and we still do not have a clear-cut indication yet about what is going on. So we know that we've got a big machlokas over here, and exactly how to understand is this entire idea based around Shemitah Bizman Hazeh not really being a diuraisa, and that Hillel was metakein, and he only was metakein when there's no din of Hashmatas Ksofim Bizman Hazeh, or was it based perhaps on the din of Hefker Bezdin Hefker? And if it's Hefker Bezdin Hefker, then there's a sub-machlokas, whether when Rava said that, did he mean that the din that the Rabbanan made of there being such a thing as Hashmatas Ksofim Bizman Hazeh, that was based on Hefker Bezdin Hefker? Or was Rava referring to the Etzem Takona of Prusbel, that it's Hefker Bezdin Hefker? So that, remember, was Gufa a Machlokas there as well. Because we know that B'derech Klal, the din is, that except by Yal Kigam, Mahalokha always goes according to Rava, right? But the problem is, and here's the issue in how to understand exactly what Rava meant, the problem is that the Rambam over here, Haskins, that it's the only time that we say this halacha of Prusbel is Bizman Hazeh when the din of Hashmatas Ksofim is the Rabbanan. And therefore, Hillel made the Takana. And that seems to be going against Rava, because Rava was saying that the point is that it's Hefker Bezdin Hefker, which would be true even in the Diyaraisa. And actually, the Ravid over there says to the Rambam, this doesn't make any sense. The halacha is like Rava. In which case, why would it apply only Bizman that Shemitah is the Rabbanan? So basically, and this is true like just about everybody, forget about the Ravid, just about everybody. I mean, the way Rashi understood the Gemara over there in Gittin and all the other Rishonim, they all take for granted that Rava was referring to the Iker Din of the Prusbel. So apparently, the Rambam must hold that either the idea over here is that there is no right to say Hefker Bezdin Hefker on the Diyaraisa, which is very problematic, and that Rava was only saying if Abaye is right, yes, it's true, it's only Midrabbanan, and what right did the Rabbanan have to do with it? Based on the fact that it was only Midrabbanan. Okay. The other approach is, of course, as we said, that Rava was coming only to describe the din, not of Prusbel, but the din of how Shemitah Bizman Hazeh, the Rabbanan could have been metakein. And the other approach would be the Rabbanan didn't want to use their right of Hefker Bezdin Hefker unless the whole idea was the Rabbanan. Fine. That was one issue we discussed the last time we met on Thursday. Another issue, we said, is the question of how does the Prusbel work? Not how, what right do you have? But remember, we always talk about the mechanism. What is the mechanism? So remember that Rashi, it seemed, had said that the din of Prisbel was actually the din of the closing line of the previous Mishnah, which spoke about Moshe Shtaros of Lebesda. We're going to see that today now in the Yerushalmi. And since it says only something that is biyotcha is the chiyah for you to be shmot, and not if it's in the hands of Bezdin. So at that point, it's as if it's already in the Bezdin. Okay, so we said it looks like Rashi, because Rashi at the end of that Mishnah said, this is the Prisbel. Tosfos says right away, this has nothing to do with it. It's two completely different din him. Moshe Shtarosov is a Diyoraisa, Prisbel is a din Rabbanan, and basically, according to Rashi, it says it's the same thing. Either we could say that the pasuk that the Gemara brings for Moshe Shtarosov LeBezdin is only an Asmachta, but it was really Hillel that was mitakenet. And it's very possible, which is what I feel personally, that it's not what Rashi meant, Bichlal. Rashi was just saying, this is the same as what in the end works for Prisbel, not that Hillel was the one who was Mechadish, this halakha of Moshe Shtarosov. You could also learn that as far as giving over your Shtaroisov Lebesdin, that would mean you would have to actually give it over. And over here, he was mitakein that you don't have to actually hand over your Shtarois. You could just declare that I am hereby giving all of my debts to you. And that is good enough. And it's exactly the same thing. And then the other question is, does it have to be Shtaroisov? What if it's a milva balpeh? And that Prisbel actually would be working for a milva balpeh, which the way the Rambam explains in the Pirush HaMishnayos is because the idea is that I'm telling the Bezdin, listen, I want to issue a suit against so-and-so to collect the chovos that I have. And I'm telling you right now that I'm going to be here in court, so just get ready to see me, so that's looked at as if he's beginning the suit. And therefore, it was as if that's not the yigos, the negisa, that means the suit, actually began earlier. Maybe that's the point. Okay, so now let's take a look at the Mishnah. Now we've looked at those basic dinim. Shoot, I forgot to press record here. So the Gemara goes like this. Mikan samchulo prusbo shuhu mina Torah. So because we said over here that the halakha is, this was a continuation of the Braita, which has the part about Moshe Shto, only if it's something that is biyadcha, but if it's not l're'eyu, it's not in your hands. So this becomes the mukar, what it says over here in our Mishnah, which is the idea of asher biyadcha. Okay, so there, that means it's a diyoraisa. That's what it seems to be saying. So it says the Gemara, well, D'oraisa. D'oraisa? How could you say it's D'oraisa? Prisbel Dvar Torah? It says the Farish in the Mishnah that Itkin Hillel. No, it means Kishitkin Hillel, he was Samech on this din of D'oraisa. So he was Samechu L'Dvar Torah. So since D'oraisa, if you really gave over Shtarosov L'Bezdin, it would actually be midiraisa, not, that's what seems to be what it's saying, would be midiraisa. So Hillel said that you can effectively achieve the same thing by saying in a prusbel that you're giving it over. So the simple way of understanding this is that, yes, there is such a thing as Moshe Shtarosov, and Hillel utilized it. It means that the Gemara is simply continuing from the previous Mishnah and the limudim we had before the Mishnah, and it's saying on, and this is the basis of our Mishnah, meaning that he was Samech on Dvar Torah, that he will view it as exactly the same thing as if you gave it over, even though it only would be Midrabanan. So if that's the case, you're not actually giving it to them, but you're telling them that they can take over the suit for you, but they don't actually have the shtarot. So there's no physical change at all. So all you need to say is that I'm asking you to collect for me. Okay, so now the question is, why, Bichlal, was it necessary to to make the takana of Prusbel. In other words, what gap does Prusbel fill? Remember, we said that Prusbel is Prus Buli Ubuti, and it actually is a takana both for lenders and for borrowers. So obviously the borrowers are going to need money, and if people refuse to lend them because they're going to lose their money, they're not going to have any money. That's clear. But the takana for the lenders is on various levels. The simple meaning in the Mishnah, which says he saw that people were being over on his shamalakha penya davarim lavavcha b'liyal, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, karov shnata shmitan, you're going to be a bum and you're going to worry about getting your money, you're a bad boy. Okay, that's one takana in order not to be over. And then we could understand it as it's necessary to lend money in order to be able to get into all of the deals that we've been talking about over here above Metzia. So it's also a takana for people who want to invest. And furthermore, if people do lend, we want to protect them against losing their money to Shemitah. So therefore, it's a takana for them on that level as well. All of these things, I believe, are all interrelated. The problem is that we can fix all of this without making a takana like Prusbel, right? For some reason, he said, you're going to need a Prusbel. Without it, people are going to come to be over. But if indeed the Prusbel is based on the Deoraisa, which is that you could be Moser Shnoraisa of Lebesden, so why not just do that? I mean, like, what exactly is the problem? Give over Shnoraisa of Lebesden, and then you will be able to lend money, and there won't be any problem, and people will be able to get loans. So is there really such a pressing need for a Prusbel? Okay, so some say, look, I mean, the idea that people will be willing to actually hand over their shtarot, which they keep in their own safe deposit box, and now they're going to have to actually give it over to a Beis Din, that people are not going to be so happy about doing that. Okay, perhaps. Then there's the other obvious issue. As we said, if you have to actually be Moshe Shtarot of a Beis Din, then you're not going to be able to make a milva bal peh, right? Because a milva bal peh, which is the easiest way of doing things, indeed, maybe 60% of loans are bal peh. So he made the Prusbel in order to give the possibility of collecting a milva bal peh as if it was a milva bishtar. Okay. But then we get another problem. There's a very easy way to avoid having shviyas cancel a loan. All you need to do is make a tnai that you are going to pay this loan even after shviyas, right? So as long as you say it in the right way, you know, not masna mashakasa b'tayra. You don't say amanat she'ena shviyas b'shametes, which of course shviyas is b'shametes. You just say amanat that you are going to pay me anyway. Okay, so then that you could do. So why in the world would I need a prusbel? So again, there are various approaches, including, well, people may not remember to do that at the correct time, which is at the time that they took the loan. So the Prusbel is there in order to recover in the event that you didn't, and various other approaches as well. Then there's another simple approach. The other simple approach is to make sure that that according to the Mandyom is how we paskin, that if the halva'ah only becomes collectible after Shviyas anyway, so then Shviyas is not mishanet. So you could always make a longer-term loan. Okay, I mean, that's obvious. Maybe somebody doesn't want to make a loan for that long. So he's worried that in the end, the guy's going to end up not paying the money, and it'll come out to be by the end of Shviyas. So, okay. It's like saying, why not just make a loan that has paid up before Shviyas? Because the guy won't pay it. And at that point, then what are you going to do? You're not going to be able to go to court to recover it. Okay, so for all of these issues, we went ahead and we're misakin Hillel's takana. So therefore, what it really means is that he was simachu ledivreter. Om Rav Huna, I asked Rav Yaakov Bar Acha, kishayte kamei Rav Yaakov Bar Acha, kamandi om ramas wrote me divrei Torah. So let's see, you hold according to the Mandi Omar, who says that Bizban, the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, that Maisras were still Midivrei Torah. So then it turns out that Hillel, because Hillel lived during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, so was Hillel being mitakened in a Prusbel at his time? And it was Chal when there was a Chiev of Maisras that was there Midivrei Torah? Om Reb Yossi, this is a very confusing way of looking at things, right? Remember that we have the machlokas whether at the time of the second base amendment, it was only drop on. Okay, so it was drop on, and there'd be no problem. Obviously, the same thing would be true about all the chiyuvim of Shmias. There was no din of Shmias at that time. Fine. But what about if you hold that it's still d'oraisa? So Amar Reb Yossi, it isn't dependent on that. You're making a very obvious wrong assumption. You're saying that, first of all I got to look at is where Trumas and Maisers are chayav, right? So if Trumas and Maisers are potter, so then Shvias is potter. We've heard according to the Man Yom that Trumas and Maisers is chayav, and that Kedusha Rishayna was Kitchel Asid Lavai. So then you would have a problem. Excuse me. This halacha of being potter, if there was no Kedusha Zaharetz, is only on things that are dependent on Kedusha Zaharetz. We're not talking about the agricultural dinim of Shvias over here, which is a function of Kedusha Zaharetz. We're talking about canceling your halva'art. What does that have to do with Kedusha Zaharetz? And the halacha, in fact, is that the din of Shemitas Ksafim is nogea chutz la'aretz, the same way it's nogea Eretz Yisrael. So what difference does it make to me whether Kedusha Rishona was Kitchel HaShaita or not? I don't understand what Ravuna is asking over here. Why is the question nogea the issue of whether Kedusha Rishona, even if Kedusha Rishona wasn't a chiyav, but since the halakha over here is a chutz la'aretz, the kasha is an overall kasha. That's the way to ask the question. So how could Hillel create a prusbo, which is mevatel adin d'oraisa, even in chutz la'aretz, which is not dependent on Kedusha Zaharetz? That's the problem. Then Rabbi Yossi said, well, Chazer Rabbi Yossi Ba'omar, I'll explain to you why it actually is dependent in a way. Because, look, in the Pasuk, it says, V'zeh dvar hashmita shmut ko ba'al mateh yado asher yashe b'reyehu, and so on, right? Now, what does that mean, zeh dvar hashmita shmut? So what it's telling me is, zeh dvar hashmita shmut sounds a little bit redundant. So basically, what it's telling me is that b'sha'ash hashmita noheget dvar Torah, if there is a din of shmita, qua shmita, meaning the laws, the agricultural laws of Shemitah. So if that din of the agricultural laws of Shemitah are noyeg, then you have the din of Shmut, meaning then you have the din of Shemitah's Ksofim. Ah, now I understand what Ravuna was saying. Since Lamaisa the Halacha of Shemitah's Ksofim, which is the Shmut Kobama Sheyado, is dependent on the halacha of Zedvar HaShemitah, meaning the agricultural dinam of Shemitah. So now I hop what he was asking. Brilliant. Now I understand. So if you have a Shemitah Noheg Zedvar Torah agriculturally, so then HaShemit Ksofim is Noheg Bein Boretz Bein Bechutz Laretz Bein Yoraisa. But if you have a Shemitah that is not noeg b'sha'ah, that the Shemitah is only noeget midivreyem, then the same thing is true about Hashmatas Ksofim. And then Hashmatas Ksofim is only noeg bein b'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz midivreyem. So Ravuna was taking that for granted. So when he asked the question, I thought he was like talking about something that was irrelevant. Now he was a step ahead of me. So now I understand that, in fact, the two dinim are actually completely interrelated. Okay, so now we've got a good point. If Hillel lived during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, and we said that there was actually a chiyav midoraisa at that time, so then how could he make the prusbo? So in Bavel they say, "Ataman amrinu, filu k'man diomer ma'asrot dvar Torah, moda b'shmita shumidivreya." The din of Hashmatas Ksofim, even if there would still be Kedusha Zaharetz, the din is that Hashmatas Ksofim is only a drabban. Why? Because there's another very important linkage of the dinim of Shemitah. Namely, Hashmatas Ksofim is linked to Yovel, and Yovel has far more stringent requirements in order for it to be in effect beyond the issue of Kedusha Zaharetz. So there, In Bavel, they explain that that's the point. Even the Man D'Amar who holds that Mises may be a chi of D'oraisa b'zman hazeh is made that Shemitah is only midivrayim. Why? The Tani, this is the other Braisa that says, Zed var hashmitah shmot. The way Rebbe understood this is like this. Shnei shmitim halalu. Shmitah v'yovel. It's referring to the equivalent of shmitas ksofim, meaning what? That you're giving away something that you own. What's the other shmita where you give away something that you own? Yovel, where you give away your property that you own. So basically, what it's really saying is that the two comparable types of shmita, shnei shmitim alalo, referring to shmita of money and yovel of property, is telling me that the two are interdependent. That b'sha'ah yovel noheg shmita noheg dvar Torah, only at the time where you would have to give away your property at the end of the 50 years, then at the end of 7 years, you have to give away your money in the case that you loaned it. But when the yovelot were posku hayovelot, then shmita is only no heges midivrayim. Therefore, since even if you hold that trumas amaisus is d'oraisa bizman hazeh, yovel is not bizman hazeh, and therefore you can have a principle. Why? Because ematai pasku hayovelot. What was the end of the yovel? Well, it says beferish in the pasuk krosam drob oretz lechol yoshveha. So what do you mean lechol yoshveha? That means only if kol yoshveha are there, and that means bizman sheyoshveha aleha. This is this week's parsha. So only at a time when the people who are meant to be in Eretz Yisrael are there in Eretz Yisrael, but lo bizman shegalumi tocha, not where you have the Yisrael that's meant to be in Eretz Yisrael are living outside of Eretz Yisrael. Not only that, even if Lamaisa, everybody already managed to get back to Eretz Yisrael, hayu alea havalayuma urvavin. Suppose there was no nachala yet, so nobody knew where they were supposed to have their chelek. So you have Shevet Yehuda is mixed up in the area of Shevet Binyamin, and Shevet Binyamin is mixed up in the area of Shevet Yehuda. You might think that since everybody is there, that's enough. Yocho yuha yovelot noago, just because you have yoshveha. Talmud lomar yoshveha. And it says lechol yoshveha. So then that means that not only is it the yoshvim, it means the yoshvim on her. That means they have to know where they belong on her. They're the yoshvim on the aretz, not that they happen to be there. And when it says lechol yoshveha, it means that you can't have any of the shvatim that are not in their nachla. So what does that force you to understand? Nimtzeta omer. Bottom line is that the moment that even the first stage of galut was Shevet Reuven Gad and Chatzi Shevet Menashe, when they were, this was already back during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash. So you were talking about Tiglas Pileser. And at that point, you had the first stage of Golas. At that point, already Batlu HaYovelos for everybody. So once it was Batlu HaYovelos, there is actually no din of Shemitah. It's not dependent on the Halach of Kedushas Haaretz. And because of that, the din Halibut Rebbe, who says that there's a hekesh between the dinim of Yovelos and the dinim of Shemitah's Ksafim, according to him, there would be no problem in creating a prusbel, because you're dealing with a prusbel, bisman she'en ha'yovel. Okay, Rabosai, whew, this is really getting to be complicated. There's a lot of different levels that we've spoken about. The interrelationship of the chiyuvim of Shemitas Ksofim, either with the halach of Trumas HaMaisras, or with the halach of Yovel. This was Rebbe Sheet, that it was going oddly by the Yovel, and not according to the din of Kedushas Haaretz. And the various levels of why we would need to make a prusbel, and the various approaches to how did we make the dinim of the prusbel, and we spoke about other things before that, but I won't go over that again. Okay, it's getting very exciting, this prusbel, and so Bezrat Hashem, we'll see you very soon, and hopefully by the next time we meet, we will have Kol Yoshveha already knowing where they belong, which will, of course, put me and Gavi both up in the Galil. Ha! All right, then. Take care. Have a wonderful day. B'surot tovot. Kol tov, everyone.